ครับ
Hello and welcome to episode 158 of the Bronx Beat Podcast presented by BP Bronx. My name is EJ Fagan and today I'm joined by Derek Albin.
EJ, what's going on?
It's a good day. The heat is finally breaking out here in Texas, and so I'm able to go outside for short periods of time, which is nice. And there's been a lot going on in Yankee world. We last kind of recorded over the weekend with the Andrew McCutchen trade. Since then, they split the series against Detroit 2-2. Aaron Judge started taking some swings. They trade for Adeniyi Echevarria. And now they're playing the potential wild card matchup in the Oakland Athletics. So we're going to talk about some of that. So Derek, I want to get us started about the latest, I don't know if controversy is the right word, but topic of discussion in the baseball Twitter sphere, blogosphere, and that is Aaron Boone's bullpen management. The consensus seems to be that there's a problem with Aaron Boone's bullpen management that has been exposed recently as players like Aroldis Chapman have been injured. And I'm curious, what is your opinion? Is Aaron Boone good or bad at managing a bullpen?
He's not been good, but I don't think you can be totally surprised because he's a rookie manager. I mean, this comes with the territory for any manager doing something for the first time. I actually thought earlier in the season that his bigger problem was waiting too long to pull starters. Like, you know, he had starters in the fifth or sixth inning that were one out away from being eligible for a win or something like that. He tried to squeeze it out and trying to get that extra batter through, you know, extra base hit here, there, another couple runs come in, and by then it was a little too late. So that's what I thought his bigger issue was having a too long of a leash with the starters. But the other day, or was it yesterday actually, he brought A.J. Cole in up one run, and A.J. Cole exited down three runs, and then he used Chad Green after. So I think people were frustrated with the timing of when he chose to use Cole versus a better reliever like Chad Green, and really some of his faith in A.J. Cole, especially, though he was good to start when he came over from Washington. He's been trending downward, and you know, Boone's usage of him hasn't corresponded with his recent poor pitching. So I think in general, there's been some frustration, not surprisingly, from a rookie manager, and he does need to, you know, use his better relievers in closer games. You know, I agree with the consensus that, you know, using Cole in that situation yesterday was a bad choice. I hope, you know, by the time, you know, it was only a month left of the season, that he's ready to go, and, you know, earlier in the game, especially for the wild card game, as you touched on briefly before, to be ready to go to his bullpen early and often as necessary.
All right, so as far as I understand it, the argument that people have been making and that you have just made is that Aaron Boone will often go to bad relievers earlier in the game than they should. So you have a bases loaded situation in the fourth inning. I think it was bases loaded with Cole, or two men on with Cole. And you should, in fact, pitch the Chad Green there and then pitch Cole when there's at the top of an inning, at the beginning of an inning. I think that's an interesting complaint, and it's one that most managers get wrong. And we're seeing some managers, and we'll probably talk about one later this episode, not get that wrong and do it right. Like the Tampa Bay Rays are able to do these things right pretty well. But for the most part, I feel like does it feel like he's just kind of a normal manager, not necessarily a bad manager?
Yeah, I would say it's probably par for the course for a manager, especially, as I was mentioning, a rookie manager. I do think, and I know, you know, there was a lot said about Girardi's mistakes in the postseason, particularly last year in the ALDS, not challenging that call against the Indians in, I think it was game two, but we were spoiled by Girardi, you know, being a pretty effective bullpen manager in general, and I think the juxtaposition of going from Girardi to Boone really makes Boone look bad from a bullpen management perspective, and probably, you know, as you're arguing, a little worse than, or it makes him look worse than he probably really is. That being said, it's apparent that there's a problem that could stand to be improved upon.
All right, so I'm going to give the counter argument, and I think I believe in some of this, and some of it I think is I think there's something there. I think there's certainly Boone can certainly be a better bullpen manager. I think in the modern day, I mean, really, the front office should be calling these things much more so than they seem to be doing. But I'm going to say a couple of things. Number one, I think Aaron Boone looked a lot better when he had a better starting rotation, which is I think is going to be common among any manager with the bullpen, right? When Luis Severino was going seven innings every fifth night, and you know CC Sabathia is pitching well, and you know you're getting at least length out of some of your other guys, your decisions start to look kind of good. But when you're pulling Lance Lynn in the fourth inning, or you know Jay Happ is giving up four runs the third time through the order, and Aroldis Chapman is injured, and you've pitched Dylan Betances and Jonathan Holder and Chad Green a lot, I think that you start to kind of just expose the Yankee pitching staff more than you expose the manager. And it just looks like the manager is blowing a bunch of games, but in reality, he's making a lot of tough calls.
I think you have, yeah, that argument I think is valid. And just to tack onto it, I think there's just some frustration this year in that the Yankees have such a great record, you know, second best in Major League Baseball, but the Red Sox are just out of this world good this year. And it's just kind of frustrating to have that happen and then tack on all the injuries that have gone on between Sanchez and Judge and, you know, Clint Frazier with the concussion problems. It's been an oddly frustrating year for a team that's, what, 34 games over 500?
This is a team that's on track to win 100 games, 101 games right now.
It's so strange to think that it's been, you know, I mean, the last month or two, at least, have been more frustrating because of, I guess, the injuries. But I think it's partly due to the Red Sox just being just ridiculous. And
if the Red Sox weren't being ridiculous, Aaron Boone would be a Manager of the Year candidate, like, right now, I think. Especially given the injuries that he's kind of pushed the team through. I mean, this team has been rattled with injuries, and it's still on track to win 100 games. I mean, just look at the injuries that the Yankees have sustained over the last month. You have, you know, Gary Sanchez going out again and now just recently coming back. Aaron Judge, Didi Gregorius, Aroldis Chapman, mm-hmm. all injured and all kind of key pieces of the team. And then on top of that, I mean, this is a team whose pitching staff has just been torn apart. I mean, Masahiro Tanaka missed a good part of the beginning of the season. Jordan Montgomery went out for the entire season with Tommy John surgery. And to make matters worse, Luis Severino has just kind of lost it for the last 2 months. And I think that all of these things kind of increase the frustration level, but then you realize that all these decisions that Aaron Boone's making, like this week, are irrelevant to the playoff picture because the Yankees aren't going to win the division and they are almost assuredly going to win a wild card spot. And so I wonder how many of these kind of like, let's play AJ Cole here decisions are either about resting guys and trying to avoid having to use Chad Green in that game, or better yet, about trying to figure out if AJ Cole can be that guy in the playoffs. And, you know, if not, if, you know, that cause if that role is going to fall to Loaisiga, or it's going to fall to, Stephen Tarpley or someone like that. Like, I feel like there's an information gathering mode right now, and you need high leverage innings to do that.
I will say, though, to counter that, you know, if it wasn't the A's they were playing, I would say, yeah, fair enough. You know, you're evaluating things a little bit more, but the Yankees are only 3 or 4 games in front of Oakland. It's not implausible that, you know, the Yankees could lose that top wild card spot and have to play on the road in the wild card game. So these games in Oakland are kind of important. I think that added to some of the frustration and anger about, you know, Boone going to Cole in particular in that game.
I think it's fair. I think it's fair that they really should play the Oakland games to win.
On top of that too, they've just been playing poorly against, you know, like the Marlins, Tigers. I think that is boiled up as well.
Yeah, I mean, they also, like, eked out a lot of games in ways that it felt like they were losing the game until, like, the eighth inning over the last couple of weeks. Mm-hmm. And I think it's just, I think that you, against these underpowered teams, the problem is the Yankees are playing underpowered. Like, you know, you're talking about a team that had Shane Robinson starting the most of its games against the White Sox. Or a team that, you know, is still not really sure what to do at shortstop to the point where they traded for a Danny Hecheverria. I think once these players start coming back, and there's no reason to rush them back, you know, even if there's you know, home field advantage in the wild card at stake, I don't think that is worth rushing back someone like Didi Gregorius, and before they're ready, and which just means you're going to be playing with a whole bunch of replacement players for a while. But that, so that, I think that the book is yet to be written on Aaron Boone's bullpen management. I think the real case, the real test for Aaron Boone's bullpen management will be when he doesn't have as good of a bullpen as he has now. Like, at this point, he can go to, once Aroldis Chapman's healthy, he can go to Chapman, Betances, Jonathan Holder, David Robertson, Chad Green, and, like, all of those are the right answer. Like, none of those are all outstanding relief pitchers, and it's okay to go to them in a tough situation. But when you have a team where maybe, like, two of those guys aren't there, and you're replacing two of those guys with an A.J. Cole type or just someone who's not very good, then he has to start making, you know, harder decisions. But for the most part this season, he's basically just had a wealth of great pitching. Okay, well, looks like I have been disconnected from the internet, so I'm going to stop recording. Okay, we're back. We had a little technical issue, but we are back recording. And Derek, I'm going to ask you, we're facing the Oakland Athletics in this three-game series. There's a good chance that the Luis Severino versus Mike Fiers matchup tomorrow will be the matchup for the wild card game. So we're going to talk a little bit about the Oakland Athletics and about the wild card in general, you know, while we have a chance. We'll probably talk more about this as we get closer to the game. But I think just the first question I want to ask you, I guess a two-part question. How good are the Oakland Athletics, and would you rather face them in the wild card game or the Houston Astros?
I'd rather face the A's, but they are good. There's no doubt about it. They have one of the best offenses in the league. They hit a lot of home runs, which is a recipe for success in today's game. I mean, Chris Davis has 40 home runs. They have, I think, four other guys who have more than 20 homers. You know, they play really good defense, whether it's Matt Chapman picking it over at third. Jonathan Lucroy is a solid catcher, though he hasn't hit too much this year. And then, you know, the pitching's actually pretty banged up, but their bullpen is really, really good, and they made some key acquisitions to bolster it. You know, they got Familia from the Mets. They picked up Sean Kelly when the Nationals just let him go. Blake Treinen has been fantastic for them. He's got a sub-1 ERA. He's their closer. They're really good. They're a deep team, and they can do the sort of thing that they can basically get probably four, maybe five innings from their bullpen if all goes right in a wild card game. So they're pretty dangerous, and I actually think that's obviously one of the bigger strengths, or supposedly one of the bigger strengths of the Yankees is that bullpen. But the A's can go toe to toe with them in that regard.
So do you expect Matt Chapman to be traded to the Toronto Blue Jays in return for a ball shortstop?
sure. I mean, I don't want to see him playing in Toronto anytime soon. But then again, they have Vlad Jr. any day at third base.
He feels so much like Josh Donaldson 5 years ago.
Oh, looks like they made the right choice this time.
Yeah, don't trade your all-star third baseman in Oakland. Probably a bad idea. Or if you do, trade him to the National League, please.
Yeah, seriously.
I look at this team. This team is a fascinating team, and it feels like it's become almost like a cliche to say, like, Billy Bean is really smart and just doing something that we might not expect. But Billy Bean's been really smart, and there's a lot of players on this team that I go, first off, he's good. I didn't think he was good. And two, like, how did the A's get this player? So, a couple of players just to think about. Marcus Semien has a +14 win, is worth +14 runs on defense this year. Marcus Semien, like, a year and a half ago, was the worst shortstop in the league. Like, somehow the A's turned the worst shortstop in the league into one of the best.
Yeah, and it's funny you bring him up, because I was actually listening to the game on the radio yesterday afternoon. And I know John and Susan aren't exactly, you know, authorities with great information, but they were talking about Semien's defense, actually, and how much he improved it and how much work he had put in. It was one of the actual focal points of the offseason for Semien to improve there at short, because it has been a problem. And it's really helped him take the next step as a player this year. He's always had some good pop at short, could steal a few bases, and now with the defense, he's become well above average as a player, and it's a big spot to have up the middle, to have a productive player at the position.
All right, who are you more surprised is an effective major league starter for the Oakland Athletics? Trevor Cahill, Edwin Jackson, Brett Anderson, or Mike Fiers?
Fiers. I think it's got to be Fiers. I mean, Fires gives up so many home runs, and I think that's just a disaster waiting to happen for him. Though, I mean, the ball is, you know, I guess bounced, you know, has gotten good good fortune for whatever it's worth. I mean, he gives up more than a homer and a half per 9 innings. So, in a team against like the Yankees, Yankee Stadium, the wild card, I actually like, you know, their chances against him. So I would say I'm most surprised by Fires. Though, I mean, it's kind of shocking to think that Edwin Jackson is still pitching, and, you know, Trevor Cahill has been up and down in his career. I mean, there's a lot of surprising performances, as you mentioned.
I mean, it's really amazing. I mean, this is a team that really is cobbled together from scraps, in a way that really feels like a lot of those, like, Moneyball A's teams in a lot of ways. You mentioned home runs. I mean, the A's have made it a strategy to go for high launch angle guys. That's been, you know, while a lot of other people think about, you know, the optimal launch angle, the A's have been going for those crazy fly ball guys, and they've been hitting home runs. And, you know, Chris Davis is one example, but I mean, you got guys like Matt Olson on this team. Jed Lowry is a 5-win player this year. I mean, they're just finding these guys out of nowhere.
Yeah, and speaking of home runs, I mean, the only two teams with more home runs than the A's are the Yankees and the Dodgers. So, and the A's are only one behind the Dodgers. So really, I mean, you're talking about a team that can put up runs in a hurry, and
in that ballpark, yeah, that's not an easy ballpark to hit home runs in.
Yeah, and then you bring them to Yankee Stadium, and depending on who you pitch, if Severino's still not himself, that could be a problem. If for whatever reason you decide to go Tanaka, he has a penchant to give up a long ball, so they are definitely a dangerous team that can, you know, put up runs in the hurry. This is not the Twins of last year that really were truly an inferior team, at least offensively. You know, the A's are right up there with the Yankees hitting wise. And, I mean, if the Yankees get healthy, you know, with Judge in particular, it's one thing. But as it currently stands, without Judge in the lineup, I mean, they're right on par, not far behind the Yankees' offense really at all.
I'm a little concerned about this bullpen, if it ends up being bullpen versus bullpen. Even if the Yankees get, you know, Aroldis Chapman back and healthy, Blake Treinen's been maybe the best reliever in baseball this year.
Yeah.
You know, Jeurys Familia is on this team. Ryan Butcher is on this team. I mean, you got a lot of really good arms who, you know, are you know, sneakily match up well with the Yankees in a way that you don't normally think of a team like the A's, or really any team, having the, you know, the firepower to go up against Chapman, David Robertson, Dylan Betances, right, etc.
Well, I gotta say, I mean, as long as something goes wrong like last year, as long as Boone is ready to act early, I feel really good about the bullpen. I don't think there's any reason any Yankee fan shouldn't feel good about the bullpen. You know, going to Green early, whoever it is, I'm pretty confident in getting the job done. It's just a matter of, you know, can you get to the A's bullpen in time before you run out of guys to use? And then you're starting to deal with, oh, shit, we got to use A.J. Cole because we have nobody else left. You know, things like that. That's where it becomes trouble.
I agree, and I'm worried about that starter. So I'm just curious, if guns to your head, and, you know, you're deciding next week who's going to be the wild card game starter, is it Masahiro Tanaka or Luis Severino?
I got to go with Severino.
Really?
Yeah. Tanaka is a great pitcher. He's been actually really good down the stretch, but Severino for one game, I gotta go with him. I gotta hope that, you know, he's got all the talent in the world. At some point, you know, he's gonna come back and show who he really is. I just gotta go with Severino. I don't think I can lose a game not using Severino, even if it's just for a couple of innings, and, you know, you want to pull Severino early and take what you can get and then go to the bullpen, that's fine. But I don't know if I can lose a game because I didn't start my ace in the game.
I think Severino is going to pull out of the tailspin that he's in eventually. I just don't know when it is, and at the moment he's giving up a lot of runs, and he's giving up runs in bunches and giving up a lot of home runs. And I think that the goal for the wild card game for the starter should be go as long as you can without blowing the game open. Yeah. And, you know, if that means, you know, he gets pulled in the fourth inning or the third inning, you know, that's fine as long as he's only given up a run or two. Whereas I'm afraid with Severino that he's going to give up, like, you know, the four-run home run, the grand slam in the second inning or something, and you're going to be sunk. Tanaka's been really good the first two times through the order. He has gotten killed when they've tried to stretch him out for that third time through the order. So here's some stats. Here's some splits. First time through the order, K per 9, 9.5. Walks per 9, 1.5. Second time through the order, 11 K per 9, 2.5 walks per 9. Both have a high home run rate, so he does allow a lot of home runs, but they're solo home runs. Third time through the order, 4.82 K per nine, 2.89 walks per nine, an ERA of a FIP of 7.43. So he goes from, I didn't read his FIPs before, FIPs of 3.36, 3.50 the first two times through the order, to a FIP above 7 third time through the order. I mean, that's just horrible. I mean, that's where all of his damage has been caused. But the nice thing about the bullpen game, about the wild card game, is that he does not need to see a single batter a third time, and he should not see a single batter a third time. And, you know, those are full season stats. He's even been better recently. I trust that a lot more right now than I trust Luis Severino.
But I feel like you can make the same argument for Severino, though. I mean, and most pitchers are, you know, they deteriorate when you get to the third time through the order. I mean, I could see Tanaka, you know, hanging a split and give up a three-run home run to Matt Olson or something like that. I mean, that could happen early. It could happen to anybody. That's why
I agree. Yeah, yeah. I agree with that.
You know, I would say I'm fine with letting Severino just tell him, hey, air it out for three innings, four innings, give it all you have, and then we'll go to the bullpen, rather than trying to, you know, pace himself, you know, through six or seven. To go into it with like a reliever mentality almost from his perspective, kind of like how he pitched well, what was it, in 2016 out of the bullpen after he really struggled, kind of going in with that mentality instead in a wild card game especially, I think probably should be fine. I mean, but like you said, he should snap out of it at some point. It's just a matter of when.
Yeah, I mean, I think you keep pitching him, maybe give him a little bit of rest, but you keep pitching him and see if you get him to snap out of it before the All-Star game. But when it comes time to like set that final rotation, I think if he doesn't start looking like the old Severino, I think you can seriously consider it. Just some other statistics. So Severino, since the All-Star break, has a 6.33 ERA, which is not good. Now, he got a little bit better in August. So in August, he had a 4.86 ERA. He hasn't pitched yet in September. But, you know, that's still bad. It's good that he's, you know, he's been giving up like three runs a game when he gives up runs, but not, you know, he's been going like six innings, three runs a lot. But he hasn't really hit any particularly good starts. And then Tanaka, you know, since the All-Star break, you know, on the other hand, has a 3.313 FIP. As I scroll down to ERA, has an ERA of 2.66. So he's hot. Severino's not. I just think you go with a hot hand at this point, and you know, still pray that Severino can pitch Game One of the ALDS. You know.
I mean, I think there's an argument. You know, you can take a chance and hope for the best, because then if you have Severino start Game One of the ALDS, you're in theory better positioned to win that next series. It's just it's tricky, as you kind of hinted at there.
Would you consider going straight bullpen game for the wild card game?
I mean, I would. I wrote about this, I think, a couple weeks ago on BP Bronx, and I would. It just depends, you know. Can you really? What would you do? You'd start Green for two innings, and then try to go, I don't know, Holder, Britton, all those guys down the line. I mean, it's something you could do. I can't envision it actually happening.
I feel like there are a couple of relievers short of me wanting to do that plan, right? So, like, maybe you get two out of Green, but at best you're talking – because you're going to have to replace a couple – you're going to have a couple of guys having bad days.
Right. That's
the risk.
So
someone's going to have to come and relieve them.
That's the risk of the bullpen game, is that what if one of your guys can just have a terrible game and blow up, you know, the whole plan? There's plenty of good reason why a bullpen game works in theory, and – I'm sure the vast majority of the time that it would work if the Rays are sort of trying it out with the opener strategy.
Well, I was about to ask, would you use an opener?
Yeah, I mean, you could do an opener too, especially if you want a guy like Tanaka or Severino not to face like Chris Davis or Matt Chapman until, later, rather than you basically would buy an extra time through the order almost.
I agree. I think that's the smart way to look at it, is that you're not only pushing that starter back a couple of innings, but you're letting Dylan Betances or whomever face the really tough top of the A's order.
Yeah.
And even if you think that Tanaka or Severino is a little it isn't pitching all that well. You know, they'll pitch a lot better when they're facing, you know, whatever, Marcus Semien and not Chris Davis.
Right. Exactly.
So that's the A's. We're going to do a lot more wild card talk as, you know, as we get closer to the wild card game. But for now, then, we wanted to leave you all with that. Real quick, I guess, now since we have a little bit of time, thoughts on Adany Echevarria? Smart trade by the Yankees, lateral trade by the Yankees that doesn't seem to do much. What do you think?
I was just totally caught off guard by it. I think I woke up on, what was September 1st? Is that Saturday morning, whatever it was? I just woke up and I was like, Adany Echevarria, why? Well, what's the point of this? you know, it seemed like Didi was on his way back. But, you know, it's fine. I'm satisfied with it. He'll be good as a defensive replacement when Didi gets back. Echevarria can come in and replace Andujar at third base, which, you know, the way, if you've watched Andujar play third base lately, it's not been pretty. So it's a shrewd pickup. It's a nice move, and I have nothing against it. I mean, I'm totally fine with it.
I think it's a great September move because, like, you know, he's the kind of guy that you probably are not carrying him, you know, for the full season, and it's no coincidence that the Yankees trade for him the night before rosters expanded. Mm-hmm. But you know, he's a guy you can bring in as a defensive replacement. He's a guy who can, you know, is probably about as good as Ronald Torres or whomever out there with Didi Gregorius out, and he's insurance in case Didi Gregorius kind of gets hurt. This is a guy who has been worth over a full major league season. Has peaked into two win territory before. That's not his average. He's basically a replacement player on average, but you know, he puts up enough runs on defense that he makes up for a pretty bad bat. That yeah. You know, maybe he could you know help you out there a little bit.
Yeah, you're not going to, in the postseason especially. I mean, you're not going to use your bench to pinch hit like almost ever, unless maybe you have Voit ready to go against a tough lefty to pull pinch hit for somebody like I don't know, Greg Bird. That is, if Bird ever actually can take his job back from Voit.
Yeah, I'm not sure Greg Bird's making that roster.
Yeah, you might be right about that, actually. It's kind of funny to think that's a possibility, but it has to be the way Bird has played. But
when
yeah,
do you think the last time Greg Bird started a game is?
Didn't he start against Detroit the other day? I feel like he did. Maybe I'm misremembering.
So today is what, September? Today's September 4th. Guess the last time Greg Bird started a game.
I'll say September 1st. I don't know.
August 29th.
Whoa, 29th. So he, wow. Yeah,
he hasn't started a game in a while, and he's only gotten one at-bat since then. One pinch hit at-bat against Detroit.
Oh, so I wasn't watching that game. That was the game I think he hit a fly ball to the track with the bases loaded. I saw the highlight, but I was not able to watch that whole game, and I guess he didn't start. So yeah, he's really fallen down the pecking order, and I mean, unfortunately, deservedly so.
Yeah, I mean, Luke Voit, if he keeps in home runs, he can keep playing, right? I'm good.
Yeah, I was listening to your guys' podcast last week, and I was wondering why you didn't shout out Mike Ford at all to come play first base. I was waiting for that.
Yes, well, Greg, Luke Voit has been that good. Also, weird thing in my head, I still for I don't know why, but in my head, his name is Luke Voit. And I can never get that out of my head. That little lowercase I is actual lowercase L, and I know. So Voit is the player that I if I say Voit, I'm like thinking about it, telling myself do not say Voit.
Yeah, well, as long as Voit's got a 183 WRC plus, you can call him whatever you want, I think.
Yeah, right. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. all right. Well, on that note, Derek, thank you for joining me. Thank you, everybody else, for listening. We will be back next week. This has been your Bronx Beat Podcast.